Now on today's program, this one's really gross. We're talking My Father the Hero. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in, as always. Like I said at the top of the program, this is My Father the Hero, directed by Steve Miner, who also gave us, get ready for this, Lake Placid,
yeah.
Halloween H2O,
yep.
Big Bully,
yep.
The first Warlock. Remember the Warlock movies?
I do.
Yeah.
It's pretty horrible.
Soul Man. House with George Wendt.
This guy's a great director.
And here we go. Speaking of our date in Atlanta, Friday the 13th parts 2 and 3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is Julian Assange?
Sands?
No, that's my question. Is Julian Sands too old to play Julian Assange?
Maybe.
Yes.
That's kind of a bummer. That's kind of just unfortunate.
Or maybe he could play him like in the future realm. You know,
oh, nice.
Once WikiLeaks has destroyed the whole planet.
Trump's Final Days starring Julian Assange.
It's like a hellscape.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a bunker I want a camera in.
Yeah, if Julian Assange became president and the after presidency photo.
Oh, nice.
That would have to be. I mean, he looked old in Ocean's 13.
Happy Valentine's Day, by the way, everybody.
Oh, wow. I didn't even realize.
Yeah, that's it. This is a romantic episode.
Are we singing Boys to Men after all this?
Curl up to your dad. You know,
kiss his fat neck.
right in the Lincoln bedroom, right?
Oh, yeah, dude.
You know that's happening.
You get a bunch of discarded Nordstrom's products and just fuck on a pile of it.
Ew.
Not a Sade.
I disagree with this joke.
This movie happened in the great year 1994, by the way. I think that says a lot about what we're dealing with right here.
I don't get this. Like, there's almost ways that this movie isn't fantastically creepy, and it goes the other way every single time.
Oh, yeah. It manages to get grosser and grosser as the minutes tick by. Now, this is Gerard Depardieu starring in a remake of a French film that he also starred in of the same name.
Was that a Weber? I forget how to say the guy's name. Weber or Weber, the
Justin
French
Bieber?
Comedy.
Yeah, Justin Bieber.
Francis Weber.
I don't believe so.
Okay, because he co-wrote this.
This is the same exact plot, but apparently I haven't seen the French version. But apparently it's a little more serious, which
that's not good.
It's possible that it gets grosser that way. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't like that.
And this is this is also Katherine Heigl, Hollywood punching bag Katherine Heigl.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
I always think she got a raw deal from those from that Knocked Up thing, like that she was such a bitch. I just imagine she's just not an improviser, and she's like, can we just, like, do the scene once?
I just imagine that she's not really an actor, and that
was the that's
problem.
Also probably a problem.
Because she's horrible at
she's
everything.
She's also not really a human being, right?
I just imagine when you're on that Apatow set, unless you're an Apatow guy, you're like, can we just... Is it lunchtime yet? You know, is it really lunchtime yet?
Guys, could you stop lighting your farts?
Yes,
please.
If you weren't in that TV show he did, what was that?
Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah, if you
and
weren't
or,
in Freaks or Geeks,
Undeclared.
Yeah, then he's got no love for you on that set.
Here's a hot take, by the way. Undeclared, better than Freaks.
Absolutely. Much more watchable.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's
I
terrible.
Like both, but what? It's terrible?
I don't know. I couldn't get into it.
Now, Cabin, I'm curious. I'm looking up this other dude here, Francis Weber. I don't know if he directed it or not, but I'm curious,
I think he did the original, the movie that Three Men and a Baby was based on.
Okay, who's dating the baby in that movie?
In the original one?
Yeah.
I do believe it was Gerard Depardieu.
I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, you know what, man? Like, I love me a good old-fashioned misunderstanding, which is, you know, it's like, oh, no, you think that we're, you know, you think that, I don't know, I'm a millionaire, or, oh, no, you think that I have cancer, or, oh, no, you know, you think that we're dating the same girl on the same night. All that's fine.
Yes.
Oh, no, you think I'm molesting my daughter? Not so much fun.
Well, it's, no, this is what, it's not molesting my daughter. They just think that he's like fucking a child.
Yes, yes. Exactly.
They don't understand that it's
a 16-year-old child.
Hey, it's not that bad.
Okay, good.
No, I'm just
thank
trying.
Goodness.
No. In a world of gross misunderstandings, man, you got to make sure you nailed what the misunderstanding is.
It's a D-, not an F.
Oh, no. This movie's a fucking F, man. Don't worry about it.
So it's Gerard Depardieu plays Catherine Heigl's dad. They're very estranged, which is never really fully explained.
Anytime, that's the other problem, is that anytime you get away from the creepy sex, molest it, whatever thing.
Sure.
Once you get away from that, it's so confused and nothing's happening. And like, he's just like, he's still in love with Katherine Heigl's mother. Yeah.
That seems to be like he had work in France and refused to move like to the United States. That's what I sort of got out of that.
Yeah. I mean, so they go to, just an overview here. They go to a couples resort for some reason. It's pretty close to a couple's resort.
It is, which is amazing because Gerard Depardieu claims that he's been planning this vacation for a year, and it's like, dude, read up on the resort. How about that, buddy?
She, to impress a boy, pretends that her dad is her lover.
Correct.
We are throwing the lover word around
quite a lot.
How about boyfriend? What about boyfriend?
Boyfriend, sure. And I agree with Gerard Depardieu when he says, like, oh, the word lover. Oh, yeah. You know, and I'm like, yeah. No, that's right. Hey, Katherine Heigl, stop saying lover.
Well, she picks it up from her dad because he's dating, I don't want to spoil the ending here. He's dating Emma Thompson.
No. Emma Thompson, the reveal no one cared about.
The Katherine Heigl's his mistress.
Oh.
He's not dating.
But he calls Emma Thompson his, I have a lover back in Paris. And like, he keeps calling her lover. I mean, I guess maybe that's why she's not picking up the phone. Like, can I at least be your fucking girlfriend?
But again, do you want to cut, like, I know the movie is already only 89 minutes.
Thank God.
What a blissful runtime.
You could shave it even more, man. You could get that down to a good 85. You take out these stupid, like, her feet while he's calling her.
Her fucking feet. Oh, that's what I want. Steve Miner fucking foot fetish. dangling.
Does
all of his movies have dangling?
I don't know. Does anyone?
Well, we got to rewatch Warlock ASAP.
I was going to ask, does that alligator get anybody's little toes in Lake Placid?
Somebody's toes definitely dunk into the water.
I think Betty White's dangling at the end of that movie.
Slow toe shot, getting wet.
That's disgusting. Yeah. Quentin Tarantino has nothing but samurai movies, kung fu movies, old blaxploitation, and a lot of Steve Miner for some reason in that vault of his.
You ever see the feet in the end of Friday the 13th Part 3? Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is vintage Miner. On 4K.
It's just it's Kurt Russell in his new movie talking at length about Warlock for some reason. You're like, why does he know about this?
That'd be a great monologue.
That would be a great monologue. It would be really impressive.
Here's something that I need to bring up immediately.
Please.
Because you get it from the... I mean, because Gerard Depardieu's in the first shot of the film, basically. This haircut.
It's the
Gerard Depardieu. Yeah, like, if you want to look like a moron, you go into a barber shop and you're like, give me the Gerard Depardieu. But this, I mean, it is like, he's in the circus with this haircut. It is so terrible.
It's not good. It's like, you can have long hair, that's fine, but like, you don't have to look like a fucking musketeer the entire time.
I think he's played at least... Well, he's played a musketeer at least like four times or something like that.
Here's the thing. This haircut can work if you're like a surfer. Mm-hmm. If you're a fat Frenchman, on the other hand, who would never, I mean, he windsurfs in this a little bit.
He does a little jet skiing too.
It looks like you look foolish.
He looks very foolish. And speaking of the surfing and everything, I have to say this about Gerard Depardieu because I think about it. Almost every time I watch a movie with Gerard Depardieu,
they're going to say almost every day.
No, but I might start.
Uh-huh.
Gerard Depardieu is a guy who doesn't give a fuck about taking his shirt off, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, you see him in this movie, it's the gut to end all cuts.
I think he's like the kingpin, though. I think it's all muscle. Like, he's like, he doesn't have man
boobs. No, it's not.
He doesn't have man boobs, and that stomach looks pretty solid.
Well, because
I think if you tried to punch him, would be like it would be like cinder blocks. Like, how is this possible?
You know, it's just layers. Like, it's like the fat had nowhere to go, so it
calcifies.
Yeah, exactly.
Gross.
It builds up like a reef. and it's hard to penetrate. But
well, because I was going to say, I know me and you, me and Andrew, differ on Welcome to New York. He is full fucking naked.
He's yeah.
Wait, when he goes to jail.
What do you see? Everything?
Everything. The whole fucking show.
The Megilla.
Dude, how is it?
It's great.
How does this movie not have a cartoon opening? Because it sounds like like it's about to have it, because it's like bit a bit scap skip scap, and I'm like, oh, here it comes.
Because this is a movie that takes place in the Bahamas, so you have to have like the bullshit pop calypso nonsense. Uh-huh. Basically, the soundtrack from Weekend at Bernie's,
but also has like
which does have a cartoon opening.
That, yeah, that superior film,
flirty like Sade sounding like
da di da
di da. Oh yeah, you're totally right.
But I guess maybe doing a cartoon about a dude being—I know he doesn't screw his daughter, but
it's not Gerard Depardieu's fault, though.
But he's but okay like with people thinking he's fucking his daughter.
That's kind of the point.
That's the worst thing.
But that's not till like halfway through the movie. So we are in New York to start. Gerard Depardieu takes a cab from the airport to his ex-wife's apartment, which is right on Central Park South. So
Who's playing the ex-wife? Nobody? I mean, like, she's somebody.
Everybody
is somebody.
And everybody wants somebody to love, I think is the idea. I didn't recognize her.
So she, like, and this weird thing is, like, he hasn't seen his daughter in years, and she's like, look, Nikki has changed. Like, oh, I don't care. Nicole is my little girl. Shut up, you. Always the same. Always the same.
Which is, it's always the flaw of these fathers that think that. It's like, fucking Liam Neeson, too, in those Taken movies. He's like, I got you a teddy bear. You like this teddy bear? And she's like, no, I'm 31 years old. I'm going to graduate high school next month.
Would you like a karaoke machine?
Oh, that dreadful birthday present.
I got you voice lessons with Britney Spears. Look at it.
I don't want that, Dad.
It has a cassette player in it.
I got you a bunch of standard definition DVDs of Justin Timberlake.
Concert footage.
I heard he's bringing sexy back. This one even has an interview with him.
Man, ooh. Concert DVDs, you could keep them all.
Not to be confused with concert films, though.
Sure.
But just those, like,
yeah,
live at the whatever the fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no
Rage Against the Machine live at Washington. I think that's the only one I ever owned.
Oh, wow.
I think I might still have it. It's like Paul McCartney, Born in the USA concert, which is like, it's actually pretty rad, but I'm like, why'd you spend money on this?
Yeah, sure.
Watch it once, you
Speaking
idiot.
Of why'd you spend money on it, My Father the Hero.
Yeah.
So, like, they meet up. Like, she's being really nasty to her mother because, you know, she's going through a terrible teen thing, as we imagine. It's very important to remember that Katherine Heigl is 15 when this movie is filmed.
Good trivia.
If you pulled a 90210 and you got, like, a 20-year-old actress to play, like, a 14-year-old girl, like we do all of the time in America, the one time we don't do it is My Father the Hero. And I'm like, what the fuck are we talking about?
That's a bad time to try to break that streak.
Exactly. Like, get any 20-year-old, like, it's just less, like, because she looks like a child. Like, that's the thing. It's like, you're looking at a child in skimpy outfits, and you're like, no.
Yeah, it's gross. She's 15 playing 14. I mean, it keeps getting worse, the layers you peel back of this casting decision.
And I do want to mention that this was a Steve select here.
No, this is an Andrew move.
What?
Yeah, really?
That's right. Oh, yeah, that's my God. I mean, I've seen this a long time ago. It's always been on my docket as well.
Oh, sure. That's because you were just talking about it all the time.
Well, he's got that My Father the Hero tattoo, which I've never really understood.
And underneath it says, la-dee-da.
What's awkward is, like, Gerard Depardieu is thrown right into this, like Steve mentioned, like, they're not, the mother and daughter aren't getting along, and it's just this awkward, like, they're just fighting. Like, the start of this movie is just fucking arguing.
Yes, not
and
a great
he's
place
like getting
to start.
In the middle, like, hey, what is going on here? Let me try to solve everything.
I played it with the dog.
And the whole thing is, like, she's just pissed at him because she's missed her entire life.
Yeah,
right.
And, like, we never kind of say that. And we never actually, like, rectify that one thing. You know what I mean? Because, like, they go to the airport and, like, he is like, oh, I'll get you a soda pop if you want it. And he goes, like, because he's Gerard Depardieu, quote unquote, the sexiest man alive, is flirting with the ticket, the agent there. And she's like, is she coming to the trip too, Dad?
Which, and it's like, you're only making it worse. I mean, I get it, but, like, stop stirring shit.
I mean, it starts right there, too. Yeah, and you, like, just look at just his interaction with this bartender at this airport.
Sure.
And she's just looking at him like, that bitch.
So she's like jealous, huh?
Yeah, like it's really fucking weird.
Like,
man.
Why doesn't my father look at me the way he looks at
this is like
other women?
Hitchcock stuff. This is not la di da. Like that's not what it is.
You're right. It's not la di da. As a matter of fact,
quite the opposite.
This is also another one of those weird instances. Like he comes back with a drink, and she takes a sip, and she's like, "Ew, what's this?"
Yeah,
and he's like, "It is a Shirley Temple. It is your favorite." And she's like, "It was when I was a kid, you fat moron."
He's like, "I've written you a letter every week for the last 5 years. That's good enough." And it's like, not really, Dad.
Writing letters in 1994.
Yeah, fucking pick up the goddamn phone.
He's certainly picking up the phone a lot in this movie. This movie is like 40% Gerard Depardieu making long-distance phone calls. I can't imagine the phone bill.
Yeah, leaving voiced messages. Not even having a conversation.
It's Gerard Depardieu and his girlfriend's answering machine.
So my question is, whose decision was it to go to this resort? Does she like, she doesn't even seem to particularly
this,
like
no,
the
this
beach.
Is 100% him.
Yeah, it's him.
Yeah, it's all, like, I think she was like, I would love to go tour, like, European art museums.
Yes.
And he was like, down to the Bahamas we go.
It's just like, with whatever.
The Bahaman.
Yeah, like, what is she supposed to do here? Like, what she's just going to watch her fucking fat dad windsurf. Great.
Well, that's the fault of Gerard Depardieu booking the wrong, yes, like, resort. Like, clearly this is an older people resort. You've got the one young boy.
Yeah.
Who lives there with his white parents.
Yeah, like, Greg Brady. A real Greg Brady type, I thought.
Yeah. Totally. Like, you're just living in the Bahamas. You're like some rich guy. You're part of the fucking problem, pal. You and your family, first of all.
It's like when he's like the guy on the Olympics when they do the what is it? The Parade of Nations?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. My favorite part of the Olympics.
You go to the Bahamas, and it's like one white dude in shorts.
Yes, exactly. I love I do. Honestly, like if we could do the Parade of Nations every week, I'd be okay with that.
And that would be great, too, because it just reminds me of like what countries are still around.
Exactly. That's a good way to keep up with everybody that we haven't eliminated yet.
In these tumultuous times, I like to know who's still standing. And the Parade of Nations helps me do that every 4 years.
A weekly roll call would be very helpful.
Everybody raise their hands.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, hey, Trinidad and Tobago, you still here? Okay, good. See you next week.
Like Sunday night, get me ready for the week.
Paging Albania. Oh, no. No, sorry.
Paging Albania. That's actually maybe like a title of like Jim Belushi's like memoir or something.
Paging Albania. Why didn't Jim Belushi ever play the big heavy in one of those Taken movies?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, why didn't he play a movie where his daughter wants to say he's the lover?
Oh, good Lord, no.
I was going to say,
my daughter.
For Taken, I don't think he has the gravitas.
Yeah.
He also definitely can't pull off an Albanian accent.
I was if like a Jimmy Bone kind of character, then yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Well, maybe like Liam Neeson's now killing Albanian Americans.
Oh, he's moving.
I'm moving on. You're the great, great cousin of someone I killed in Europe. I'm going to Chicago, and I'm going to fucking kill you. I'm going to the Bronx, New York, which has a very large, robust Albanian population, and I am going to kill them all just in case, because honestly, it's getting a little bit too much with the Albanians already. I can't even go on fucking vacation.
I'm going to raise all 5 miles of that neighborhood.
So they go, and like, here's where we get our Stephen Tobolowsky and Hearn is here.
Yep.
Underutilized the both of them. Like,
yep.
They kind of play like this Greek chorus, I guess. It's like,
yes,
them and another couple. They're supposedly from Scranton, Pennsylvania, but they all have different accents.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
And I'm sure Greek chorus is exactly what they were thinking.
Yes,
when
yes.
It's just weird because it's like, you know, Gerard Depardieu like blusters by them in a particular scene or whatever, and like, it's their, I mean, they are Greek chorus. Like, it's just their job to be like, hey, the movie's still going on. Mm-hmm. And like, that's the,
oh, is he French? No, that's not French. This is French.
Yeah, it's two couples, Tobolowsky and Hearn, and two other people who have like New York accents. The other woman vaguely wants to fuck Depardieu. Like,
she does first when she first meets him, and then.
No, we're not talking about that desperate redheaded character.
No.
That's the saddest figure
we'll
in the film.
Annie Potts almost.
Oh, she wishes.
Franny Potts.
Franny Potts.
Also, to go along with that haircut, by the way, I also have to mention that the suits that they have him in in this movie, the clothing. Like, I get he's a big fat guy.
Well, it's also the 90s and everything was a little bummer.
I know. Loose. It's so bad, though, to be a fat man in the 90s. Dude, these suits are out. He's swimming in these things.
I mean, these are the shirts. If he was dropped from a plane, he could use them as...
It was a flying squirrel suit.
It would be just slightly tight on King Kong, this jacket. If you put King Kong in a dinner jacket, it would be this jacket.
I'm here on vacation.
Man, the circumstances in which King Kong is invited to a jackets-only dinner, by the way.
Well, you're not getting pants on an ape.
No, I just meant you have to have a jacket to get in. If King Kong was dining at the Friars Club.
The Friars Club roast of King Kong.
Oh, man, Godzilla went a little too hard. You could tell King Kong, felt it. It wasn't funny anymore.
King Kong was like, I thought these people were my friends.
And then he trashed Manhattan. I mean, all of Manhattan.
The monkey from Rampage is there. He does this weird 9/11 joke. And then he gets into the aristocrats.
Doesn't Rampage also have a werewolf?
It has a werewolf, a monkey, and a lizard.
A lizard person.
And then also there's a monkey there from Primal Fear. Primal Rage.
Primal Rage.
What's all the other monkey games?
And the Lake Placid Gator.
Well, of course, Donkey Kong has to be the whole thing. There's a table of Donkey Kongs.
But I'm assuming Donkey Kong is going to leave about halfway through the ceremony.
You know who could have played Donkey Kong is Gerard Depardieu.
Oh, yes! That would be great.
Right?
I'm Donkey Kong. And John Leguizamo as Diddy Kong.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. He could ruin another video game adaptation. So we're here, we're at this resort, she sees this sexy boy, and it's the only moment of the movie where she's even attempting comedy of any kind. She has a little physical comedy right here. Do you notice that she is looking at this dude and she bumps into a table and you're just supposed to be laughing your ass off? Mm-hmm.
And actually, I kind of wish this would happen more because for most of this movie, I really didn't like her.
No, she's fucking putrid.
I mean, even outside the lying shit, even beyond
Heigl?
That. Yes.
When have you ever liked her?
Never. Okay, so that's a fair point.
But no,
you're talking about liking the character.
The character. I'm just specifically talking about
the character. She's despicable.
Well, the weird thing is, they have these moments where it's like, oh, man, this girl just got fucked over by her dad real hard. But a lot of it is just her lying for literally no reason.
Yeah. She is human trash.
She should have... here's my fix for this movie to make her a little bit better. Is she either as a friend on the... she calls up an Anna Chlumsky type at this time, we'll call it.
Oh, sure.
And she's like, oh, you know what you should do? And she's got all these bad ideas and Katherine Heigl's just a vessel.
Right.
That's
because,
okay.
The fact that she's sitting there just drumming this stuff up instantly.
Yes.
She's a sociopath.
Exactly. Or if she's reading a novel and this is in the novel.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's a good idea,
too.
Oh,
yeah. Books are full of bad ideas.
Exactly.
Well, that would presume that this character is reading.
Can we talk about the thong scene? We really kind of have to, right?
You have to.
It's the elephant, and Heigl has gone on record saying if she knew now what she knew then, she never would have done it. Because I mean, there's just it's the first scene, and you kind of see what this is trying to do. It's kids these days, ladies, girls' outfits are getting.
Oh, you're not going outside dressed like that.
Exactly.
Where's the rest of your swimsuit, young lady?
Provocative, whatever. But literally, we're putting a 14-year-old in a thong and just putting a camera on it.
It's outrageous.
And just keeping a camera on it.
She's by the pool and. Gerard Depardieu comes up and he's something something cheeseburger and she's
got two cheeseburgers. He's what are you going to eat for lunch?
Do you want one for me?
Do you want a quarter pounder or baconator?
Please catch the pickles. They're dripping off.
Catch the pickle.
Yes, the pickles are in my pocket and you have to just put your hand in there and oh no, it's not what it looks like. It's just getting my pickle.
That what a funny misunderstanding.
She's just getting my pickle. So she's whatever, I'm disgusted by you. And she goes to get up and her ass is just there in this thong.
It's really gross.
And he flips out. He's like, "Sacre bleu!" And grabs a towel.
And if that's what we're doing, one quick shot suffices. Do you know what I mean? Oh my God, I know what's going on now. Let's not look at it for a while.
Or just have him, the camera's on him and he's looking down and it's like,
it's
and he's like, no!
It's the beginning of Lost in Translation with a fucking 14-year-old girl. It's not all right.
She's just pensively staring out a window.
Exactly.
And it doesn't help that this is intertwined with some pretty racist shit.
Oh, right. She's talking to like one of the guys from the island there.
I think it's one of the Baja men.
I don't think it's one of the but he comes up and he says, oh, where's his parole officer? And
yeah.
I almost threw up.
Yeah, that's and not then, nothing.
Well, she flat out says to him a few minutes after this, like, is it because he's black? Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, it's not because he's black. It's because you're a child. Yeah. And this dude's like 20. Like, that's the thing. Is all these people, all these dudes at this resort are fucking falling for it. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, and they're already. Here's this is a thing. Fucking really lecherous colony we've got going
dude,
here.
Because these are all these weird, these people that go to the. They're like, oh, it's international waters, kind
sex,
of.
Sex
I don't know what the age of consent is.
In the Bahamas? Yeah. That's a good call. I don't know either.
Maybe it's kind of like a howling situation. Everybody's there, just there to fuck.
Yeah.
Also, that's something you could add to the Parade of Nations, right?
What, werewolves?
Well, werewolves would be great. Werewolves be fucking would be great. No, I was going to say, like, when you get out to the Parade of Nations, you've got a sign, and it says what the age of consent is in your country for all the sex perverts out there.
Well, actually, now we're talking, that's a good, now it makes sense to do that weekly, just in case that changes. You're like, oh, well, I'm going on vacation next week. Let me watch the parade, this week's Parade of Nations.
All right,
just,
now I know Trinidad and Tobago, 18, got it.
12 plus Thailand.
Oh, fuck.
Wow, gross.
There should be no pluses in age of consent.
You're right. It should be minus, right?
That's also terrible.
Wait, what a division symbol. What does that mean?
Percent?
This is getting too much for me.
But I blame the Heigls here, right? Like, in this thought. Like, yeah.
Mr. and Mrs. Heigl. Yeah,
they were definitely ass.
You're doing this scene, like, yeah. I mean, a girl, you know, she doesn't care. She's a 14 years old. She doesn't know shit about shit.
She's in a movie.
I blame Mr. Steve Miner for putting the camera there. But, like, somebody should be like, actually, let's do, like, a two-piece. Like, a regular old two-piece. Like, whoa, that's scandalous.
Because you can still, you know... I don't need fucking butt crack in this movie.
I do not need butt crack.
Just a single bit. It's like, listen, Gerard Depardieu,
cover her ass.
Now, that guy's got a butt crack.
Oh, yeah. Where the Lord split him, the fucking Grand Canyon.
Bring the quake out.
No,
man.
I don't think God had anything to do with that.
That would be great if he was just in a banana hammock in this scene. It's like the beginning of Sexy Beast.
Yeah, he is European.
Mm-hmm. He's in there's one point in this movie where he's sleeping nude and, like, there's a sheet that's hanging on for dear life. Mm-hmm. And then it's not a full-on banana hammock, but it's like a small-ass bathing suit.
I sit in on the beaches looking at the peaches.
I had a great idea for a movie. It's like, it's an international bar, maybe we're in Morocco, and it's two...
Rick's American.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
It's two spies. One played by Gerard Depardieu, he's a French spy. And then you got Ray Winstone as a British spy.
Oh.
Two fat spies going at it.
Can it be called Two Fat Spies?
I think I like Two Fat Spies.
That would be a great movie.
It would. It would be like a real creaky, talky kind of movie.
Dude, you'd call it Casablanca The Return, Two Fat Spies.
And they're just constantly sweating and dabbing their foreheads with napkins.
They're mysteriously, they keep ordering appetizers over and over again. Like, that's kind of, and you don't know what the appetizers mean.
Right.
It's like, I think it's time for pigs in a blanco.
Oh, we are fitting in. It is we're called, and it's tapas.
Whenever they're walking, they're all making work on a croissant.
Exactly. All right, my time to order. How about jalapeno poppers?
Oh, man, they're just trying to out-eat each other for the fate of like microfilm. I love this idea so much.
And apparently, it's like an Applebee's in Morocco.
Yes, they're at an Applebee's in Morocco, clearly.
They're taking a part of turkey from both sides.
Oh, that would be great. Who can get to the wishbone first?
Oh, I'm thinking, I'm just saving room for dessert. And it's like, oh, is he talking about, like, the food, or is he really talking about, like, the missiles, maybe?
No, he's definitely talking about the food.
He's talking about an ice cream surprise.
That's the thing. They don't get any work done. There's no spying to be done because they're trying to out-eat each other.
They're trying to out-eat each other or eat in as many antacids as possible.
Zutelo, here comes my frozen mudslide.
Oh, and there's just buckets for vomit as well.
Oh,
like,
we're
going
like,
that right. Regular spies shoot at each other, but fat spies, it's like they're just trying to kill each other with food, right? Oh, that's like they order the cannolis and like they're trying to make it the richest, nastiest meal.
Exactly.
Just to like
actually,
destroy the opponent.
I have a question, fast spy. Do you yield? Do you yield?
It's like in Raiders of the Lost Ark when she's out drinking everyone, but it's plates of food. Like, clean the plate and you turn it upside down and slam it on the table.
Karen Allen has strawberry syrup all over her face.
I
like that.
We've made a lot of fake movies in this show. This is the one I want the most.
You could do this. You could do this. Mm-hmm. Better get the bucket. I'm going to throw up. Oh, that movie, Casablanca, The Return, Two Fat Spies, is way better than My Father, the Hero. Either version.
So at this point, she like goes to the beach by herself. A lot of just walking around by herself. Like, why are you even with your daughter at this point? Like, why go on a vacation where you're just going to be like, I'm going to go fuck around. Talk to you later again.
Yeah, it's that terrible thing where it's like we're on vacation together. And we're immediately making separate plans. Mm-hmm. It's, oh, boy, that kills me. What are we there for?
Exactly.
Why didn't we just go someplace else, like, separately?
And this is where she meets the guy, and he's like, you know, he knows the island backwards and forwards. And he's like, oh, you walked here by yourself? She's like, yes, I did. And he's like, how old? First things first, how old are you?
You know what? Great question. Before you get in too deep.
Dicey answer. She says, well, I'm 18, which, you know what? No. No,
yeah, no one is 18.
I feel like nobody's 18.
No, I don't believe it.
Anyone who's eager to tell you that they're 18 is not 18.
That's when you get that, then you have to eventually, in the next few hours, before things get too serious, work in the conversation. Like, you want to see how stupid my driver's license photo is?
Let me see yours too.
Exactly.
That's a good move. Yeah.
That was you know what that is? That's the solution for that episode of Seinfeld where he doesn't know the woman's name.
Exactly.
The old, my driver's license photo is stupid. What does yours look like?
It's also a great way to steal someone's identity.
Oh, FASPA, my passport photo is so stupid. Yes, and another round of mini hamburger sliders.
I accidentally ate your identification.
Make that a bowl of chili.
That's right, fat spy. You will die when you accidentally sit on a tower of onion rings.
Oh, you ate more identification, did you? Well, I ate all the documents in your dossier. That's why I asked for the extra honey mustard.
Well, you're going to have to get this microfilm out when I pass it. I didn't know it was hidden in the turkey.
I'll slather it with A1.
Ooh, yeah. I like that. That's one way to eat a document.
So
I'm in Morocco. More A1 sauce, please.
We're in an Applebee's.
It's an Applebee's.
In Morocco. Right.
Well, we were in the neighborhood.
But yeah, so she says she's 18. The guy doesn't really buy it smartly.
But he's not like, fuck off.
Yeah.
He doesn't buy it. But he sticks around.
She said it.
And this actor is also, I think he's about 19, and that's a huge difference, too.
Doesn't he later say he's 17?
I'm talking about the actor. Like, the actor himself. Like, and you can tell the difference. Like, he looks like, you know.
This guy's a grown man. He could play a Power Ranger.
Exactly. Yes. He could play a Power Ranger. Yes. She's hanging out with Stephanie on fucking Full House.
You're totally right.
He could play a Power Ranger, and she could play with Power Rangers.
I was
going to
say, is that really the Rubicon of man? Manhood.
Well, it's about the rite of passage is from when you go from playing with Power Rangers to being one.
Man, that new movie looks stupid.
It does.
It's a Mighty Morphin Bar Mitzvah.
Rangers, you became a man today. Read from this space Torah.
Ay, he didn't do that translation.
You
know where that goes.
So it's just uncomfortable, and he's like, all right, little kid, I'm gonna go back to snorkeling or whatever I'm doing out here by myself.
Sure.
But he makes a point. He's like, you're just walking around by yourself, like on the beach in a foreign land. Like, this is one great way to get yourself the subject of a fucking Netflix crime documentary, by the way.
Oh, no.
Come on.
Yeah, that's not a great idea.
So then, like, what is the... She's, like, I guess she goes back to the resort itself at one point. Because, like, when Gerard Depardieu meets up with her in this one scene, she's talking to this, like, roadie looking scumbag guy. Yes. And he's just like, well, yeah, I am a photographer.
Looks like Kevin Nash.
He does. It's like if Kevin Nash like mashed up with Mark Boone Jr.
Yep. Yeah.
That's this guy. And he's like, yeah, I take pictures of things. Well, I take your picture. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This is, well, actually, thankfully, Gerard Depardieu shows up and stops the Netflix crime documentary from happening.
Because this guy definitely gives her, he's like, you want this drink, baby? Yeah. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Gerard Depardieu gets right in there and he eats her drink.
Just bites into the glass. Like he's a fucking wrestler in ECW.
So, yeah, that happens. And then, like, they do go to some sort of a dance. It's a resort, which, again, why would this kid want to be there? So she's hanging out with, like, 50-year-old people all day, every day. And there's, like, dances and talent shows and all sorts of nonsense that no one should ever go to at a resort.
No, no. And, you know,
I'm not there to meet people. Again, unless it's a singles resort where I'm literally trying to fuck.
Right.
I don't want to meet anybody.
No, I want to be there with whoever I went there with and just, like, shut up. Like, I had to deal with this. Like, when we went on our honeymoon, we went to this resort in Mexico. And, like, we basically kept to ourselves.
Sure. But that one fat spy in the corner.
that dude ate me under the table and stole my identification. It was so hard to get back to America. But it's like, yeah, they're doing like, you know, community nights and activities. Like, I get it. Like, you want to have stuff for people to do.
Sure.
It's just like totally unappealing to me.
Yeah,
like, I don't
give
a flying fuck. Like, leave me alone.
But at this point, she does. Now she begins her lie to the guy. And
right.
She's like, look. That's my boyfriend. His name is Andre, which is actually her dad's name. But she also is like, she vacillates, by the way, between calling her father Andre because she's a cool teenager.
Yeah.
And a word that shouldn't appear in this movie with the context and with all the stuff that's going on.
Please.
The word daddy.
Yes.
Daddy.
Let's just skip it.
Problem word.
She could just say dad, and that's
daddy.
Totally.
It's just, see how gross it is.
Well,
she could
just, I mean, he's a big daddy.
he could get the big daddy dispatch for sure.
But she's got some line here where she's like, yeah, he's my boyfriend, but due to these, she basically says, like, due to this country's, the world's, like, pesky
stupid
child sex
laws and stuff.
Yeah, these pesky sex laws, he's got to pretend to be my dad. And this dude's just like, uh-huh.
And she starts to filter in some stuff that she used to, what did she say? She used to be a prostitute, or what
no,
did she
her
say?
No, her mother used to be
the mother was a prostitute.
Because she saw it on, like, a current affair.
And she
or something.
Ran off with her pimp. And it's like, this is her trying to be mature and impress this guy.
And it's just like, it's one lie snowballing after another. And she's just, like, spitting this shit out, man. She's a sociopath.
How about, I'm 18. Because she actually fesses up. She's like, actually, I'm 17, which is also what she's not. But she's like, hey, I'm 17. My dad dragged me to the stupid resort. I hate it. Blah, blah, blah. He's an idiot. That's all you need.
Yeah.
And then you can, you know, whatever.
Like, why this lie? It just
it's
does.
Because that won't
creepier.
Stoke his male competition?
There's a lot of that going on later in this movie, which is
really
weird.
Gross.
Yeah,
but it's weird because, like, this, the whole, like, you know, sitcom-esque mix-up starts on the other end too, because what, like, right when they get there, Tobo and Anne and the two other people, like, they themselves independently of this make the assumption that they're like a gross couple kind of a thing. Because, like, I think he does, when they walk away, like, he does something where he maybe puts his arm around her or something like that, and they're like, say,
that's French.
Gross. Yes, that's
the
joke.
Oh, the French.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and Tobo's just great. I don't know.
Tobo
just,
is great.
He's just great.
There is a t-shirt that Tobo is wearing at the end of this movie.
Yeah.
It's a cool t-shirt, man. I want it. I have to, like, freeze frame it to see what's on it.
What is it?
It's just, I don't even know. It's just some, like, hip pattern. It looks like it's like a t-shirt of comic strips or something.
It's a sentence I will never believe in my life. I saw a cool t-shirt.
Oh, come on, man. You had to have owned a couple of cool t-shirts.
I'm sure I did. I'm not sure if I want to be advertising it.
Chris, you're wearing kind of a cool t-shirt right now.
Thank you.
So, yeah, from there, we just kind of, it's just being on this miserable vacation with these people.
There is this other lady who we kind of alluded to, Annie Potts type, who is talking up Catherine Heigl and then, like, Katherine Heigl puts her and her dad together. Like, hey, you know, old people talk to each other. I don't care.
Yeah, get this dude off my back.
And, you know, she's like really desperately flirting with him. And like, he's been giving her no this entire, like, he has to say no to this one at least 12 times. Like, well, you know, I'm in the relationship, but she's not here. And she's like, cool with me, man. Like, she's giving him the fucking go sign the entire time.
Yeah, she's the one that actually clears it. She's like, oh, girlfriend, that's cool. Is she here with you?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, nope. Okay, let's just keep these stenchy waves of desperation coming.
Out of curiosity, are you a fat spy?
Oh, what do you
now
mean?
Now I'm going to eat you alive.
My cover has been blown.
There you are, my old friend. I'm going to leave this McDonald's bag on a park bench. And if you can pick it up, you'll get the information and a lot of cheeseburgers. Do you know they made the Big Mac bigger?
Oh, no. My pants pickle has been nicked.
Pants pickle. Oh,
I was saving that for the elevator ride.
So, like, we cut back and forth between, like, this first meeting of Depardieu and this desperate woman. Mm-hmm. And, like, the Heigl's walking on the beach with this dude. And that's all it's, like, the hilarious domestic abuse lies that are happening.
It's just so weird.
It is. And then, so, like, this kid gets, like, soured on Depardieu.
Yeah, because like, oh, this guy's a pervert.
Which sets us up for, like, the scene of the movie.
Yes.
I mean, this was like almost the entire trailer. The famous water skiing scene.
That's the poster. The poster they have of this movie is a big fat Gerard Depardieu, and behind him is him on water skis, because that's really fun.
It's all they were selling this movie with. I remember these trailers, and it's just like, look, it's a fat guy water skiing. You want to pay $4 to see this in theaters? No? All right. We'll see you at the video store.
You could just watch The Great Outdoors again. But yeah. Who am I to judge?
Well, see, this is the fat sexy.
Yes.
Well, you can watch Candy's fat funny. This is fat sexy.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, you could also watch Summer Rental. I don't know that he's necessarily water skis in that movie, but it's also John Candy at the beach.
Yeah.
Which ain't bad.
Got some classic Rip Torn in there.
Oh, right.
Running the barnacle.
Oh, right. He's the stuffy barnacle owner.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, we're going to go water skiing or whatever.
And the kid's driving the boat, and he keeps, like, putting him in dangerous, fun situations.
And Katherine Heigl's, like, screaming at this guy, like, you're going to kill my boyfriend.
Yes.
God.
And he just, you know, it's a lot of Gerard Depardieu stunt doubling right here, which it's like, all right, we're going to need a big, fat stunt guy for this movie.
I think it was just a regular stunt guy covered in clay.
Oh, he wore that fire suit, but it wasn't going to be lit on fire.
Right, yeah. And they had to make it look human, so they had like red clay that they painted and like, or like Play-Doh.
And on the beach, Ray Winstone looks out, laughing, eating a whole fried halibut.
Like an apple. Oh, can I, just because, update a story of people eating fish next to me at movies?
Did this happen again?
Sure. This did happen again.
Oh, God, really?
We went, during my, I had the week off between Christmas and New Year's, just as an FYI, and I was like, oh, I want to see Rogue One again. So I went with a buddy of mine who doesn't have a real regular job, so he was like, yeah, I'll go with you. So
oh, wait, was it you, Chris?
Yeah.
No.
Big burn, Jesus.
And you know, I went to the concession stand, speaking of fat guys, fat spies, and he was like, I'll save you a seat. And he was like, oh, there's people next to me, so I'll give, he was nice, he's like, I'll give Steve the seat with the empty one next to it. So which is very nice of him. So I go, I sit down, and this guy comes in, this old lanky guy with a fucking bike helmet and a big bag of newspaper or whatever else is going on.
Right, fresh from the fishmonger.
Yes. And he's like, he just, excuse me, like bumping everywhere. I'm like, all right, fine.
This is, you're saying the bag, it's like the,
it's a plastic bag full of like today, yesterday, and last week's newspapers.
These are, we've talked about these people on the show before. These are the old New Yorkers that shouldn't leave their rent controlled apartments.
Multiple layered, thank you bag.
Yes, exactly.
So what theater was this?
This was Union Square.
Oh,
never, there's your first.
At like 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday.
Can't do it. No more Union Square.
Go on. So he sits down, And like he just keeps elbowing me, and he's like, I'm sorry. He's like doing that thing, like, isn't it funny that I keep interrupting you with my all of my shit?
God, you know what? Here's the thing: if you're ever asking someone that, it's never fucking funny. Mm-hmm. That person wants to kill you.
And I'm like, all right, fine, that sucks. And then as the beginning of the movie starts, he takes out a pret-a-manger long baguette sandwich, right? Tuna fish.
No. Nope.
And he's eating it like a hot dog. Like, you know what? Like eating a tuna fish sub as if it were just like a finger food.
What, and so he turned it sideways?
Yeah, and he's just, oh. Just like eating it like normal. Like it's just like a thing somebody could eat.
That's disappointing.
It was disgusting.
How fat was he?
No, he was like super skinny. Oh, yeah. Like,
so he felt it sounded.
Well,
like.
He wasn't a spy.
He was
no. He was just a rude movie theater patron.
He might have been a contact though.
Oh yeah,
or the fat spy.
All right, yeah, like hand off a sub. Your contact will have a pret-a-manger bag.
Oh, he left it in a bathroom stall and this dude picked it up?
Fucking nice bathroom sandwich, dude. That spies eat a lot of those.
He says next is the chili round.
Okay, I've got the meat point. Now let me eat this sandwich on the toilet.
How is this espionage?
Great question.
I don't know why, but the governments do it. Every government has fat spies.
Yeah, it's fully funded, dude. I don't know.
Let me ask you something, my friend. How many meatballs do you believe you could eat in one sitting? If your number ain't in the double digits, I've clearly won. You haven't come here to play.
Come here to play.
They've got like baccarat chips next to them as well.
Some sort of gambling apparatus goes on. I love this.
Oh yeah.
So this movie happens.
This is it's an annoying resort thing. The talent night.
Whatever.
And she's just like Tobo is like, oh, they're doing a monologue from something, a streetcar.
I want more of this, by the way.
Sure, I would love this.
Can we do the full production?
Just do that. Yeah. Please film that. I'll watch that instead of this movie. There's also one of my favorite. Well, I guess you'd call him like a featured extra in this movie. So there's a couple that's doing like a tango.
Uh-huh.
The mullet on this guy doing the tango is outrageous. There's like birds flying out of this thing.
So his Catherine Heigl leaves and everyone's like kind of staring at him because this rumor is going around now because like this kid's telling everybody who will listen. He told the guy in the boathouse all this shit about like how creepy this couple is, because that goes around. And the lady friend, the Annie Potts type, is like, hey, I hear you play the piano. You should go up there and play the piano. And he's like, okay, what should I play, audience? And they're like, something French, you creepy fuck! And he's like, okay, that's a little aggressive for a crowd.
The creepiest Jacques Brel song, which is pretty hard to do.
It's Thank Heaven for Little Girls, which is a song that should have...
goodness for little girls.
It should have been retired in the 60s. You know what I mean? Like, whatever.
Before child molesters were invented?
Yes, exactly. Before we invented them in the lab. Like, once we got to that point, we're like,
fucking,
you know what?
Fucking Reagan, dude. First AIDS, now this.
Invented it all, man. Yeah. But yeah, like, he goes through it, and everyone's like, boo, this is fucking gross.
No, it's better than that. No one says shit. They all just quietly walk out disgusted. It's a room full of disgust, and they all just quietly leave, and he's just tankering away on this keyboard.
But Franny believes. She stays.
Well, because she knows. That's the other frustrating part about this movie.
She's into it.
She knows that Katherine Heigl is his daughter, and like... is she not sniffing what's going around the rest of this resort? Open your mouth.
Mm-hmm. They're not whispering about this. No. They're saying it pretty loudly.
Like, she needs to be like, oh, I see why they're leaving. Guys, hang on a second. Hang on. Stop everything. You know what? Andre, stop playing. Listen, everybody, you think that he's fucking a little girl. It's actually his daughter. He's not fucking her.
Oh, wait, what?
I've faxed from the American consulate. I've got her birth certificate right here. Long
now please,
form.
Please sit and enjoy this creepy song.
Do you? I've eaten it. I ate my own birth certificate.
It's the only way to hide your identity in another country.
You put some A1 sauce on it and you chomp down. Bye-bye birth certificate.
I rolled it up with some brisket.
Oh, ooh. Slow cooked birth certificate.
So at this point, he's like, goes back to Katana, he's like, what is going on? Why is everyone so mad at me? And she's like, well, promise you won't get mad. And like, okay. Actually, no, this is after, like, there's this scene where they have dinner, and it's one of the many scenes where, like, he, like, is shown to be a terrible father. Cause she's like, hey, remember 3 years, remember my 16th, or what, my 13th birthday, which is a big deal for me, and you were in New York, and you just decided to fucking ghost me on my birthday?
Yeah, wow. You know what, man? As big as this town is, this is a small town. You find out shit like that really fast.
He's like, oh, she's like, oh, you were just with your girlfriend, and he's like, oh. I'm sorry. And she, like, cries and leaves. And he's like, well, there's still meat to be eaten. And he just stays at the dinner table. Like, you're on vacation with your daughter. You're trying to mend this relationship.
Right.
You don't let her just go off, storm off because she's
Steve,
mad.
Steve, listen. There's an all-you-can-eat buffet at stake. He'll do one thing first and fix the other thing later. That food's not going to wait.
Mm-hmm. It's just, he sees Ray Winstone out of the corner of his eye. He puts a napkin under his shirt collar and is like, oh, no, I have to chase my daughter, but the great game has begun.
That's like waving like a green flag to start a race, man. You put that napkin in your shirt, it's fucking on. Get eaten.
Ray Winstone goes up onto the pit, takes the suckling pig off the roast without any gloves.
He like raises it above his head and then just chomps down on it. Oh, yeah.
Splits it in half, hands one to fucking Depardieu.
I heard you're a fat spy. Let's see how good you are.
Yeah, you eat the ass end of it.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to start with the eyeballs. I'm going to eat this apple right out of this pig's mouth. I'm going to bob for a pig's mouth apple.
So, I mean, like, clearly.
I mean, I guess it's like, who goes to the hospital first loses.
Yeah, dude.
I'm going to eat his teeth, too.
Chopping on pig teeth. That's disgusting.
So, well, you never know. That might be where the
hospital comes into play.
Well, or maybe the microfilm is hidden in the tube.
Sure.
Because I think that's the move, is you eat as much as possible. You out-eat someone, and you got the documents in there, right?
Yeah.
And then you fiddle around in your own feces later to find all the important information.
Smart.
Hey, speaking of out-eating, I think of the four people in this room, Chris Cavan and I are the only ones that have had that full pig's head, man.
Oh, you got a couple fat spies in here.
You had that, right? Didn't you?
Yeah, yes, I did.
Oh, yeah.
Well, M. Wells Steakhouse.
M. Wells Steakhouse in Long Island City, baby.
All right.
When in town, please visit. Great
restaurant.
That's where
fat spies go.
Oh, yeah.
That's the new neutral zone for fat spies to just come in and eat a sensible dinner.
It's like Switzerland.
We cannot indulge.
Oh, man.
Oy.
Oh, Gerard Depardieu around this part in the movie gets punched in the face by this kid, which is kind of funny.
Oh, that's when he goes over there. He's like, where's my daughter? Or he's like, where's Nicole? Show me Nicole. And he's like, should I go with you, you fucking pervert?
And then, like, he's like, oh, yeah, right this way. And he just, he does, like, a quick punch.
Right on that snooker, man.
Yeah, big enough target. Gerard Depardieu's nose.
I think it's an Owen Wilson situation where he got broke early on kind of a deal.
Oh, sure, that could be.
He couldn't sniff out truffles. I've got that on you, my English counterpart.
That is right. I am part pig. I can sniff out truffles in a bed of shit.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's disgusting.
So, like, he's like, why does everyone hit me at this resort? She's like, you promise you're not going to get mad? He's like, well, yeah, sure, it's a sitcom, so I promise I won't get mad. And she's like, well, actually, I told everybody we're fucking and that I, you know, you're a pimp and you're a gross piece of shit just to get this boy to like me. And he's like, what?
Actually, speaking of his overreaction right there.
Not underreaction, to be quite honest.
Yeah, well, there's two things at play right here that I find hilarious. One is, as we lead into him finding out what the deal is, Steve sort of touched on it, but like he is being driven insane trying to figure out why people don't like him at this place. Like, what is wrong with everybody? He's fucking pulling his hair out.
Mm-hmm.
But the start of this scene, like the confession scene, is one of the funniest, like, blink and you miss it things. It starts with Gerard Depardieu's, like, sitting in a chair, and he's He's reading a Fortune magazine, and he's sort of like, he's making a face like, I don't believe what's in this magazine. And he's like, what? Just like looking at this Fortune magazine like angrily. Don't really know what he does for a living in this movie.
No, you don't. Like, he just he's like a new business. He's a fat spy, Andrew.
Yeah, that's why we don't know. That's actually true.
I just thought of something. Ray Winston is in MI6 100 pounds.
Oh, nice.
Bravo.
So this is the, I mean, this should be in a logical non-Three's Company universe, sure. You know, where he's like, wow, this is really fucked up. It mm-hmm. ends here. But instead, he's like, okay, I will help you keep up this disgusting farce so you can, and this is what's stupid also, like, so you can get this guy for, I mean, what are we left at this vacation? Like 3 minutes?
Exactly.
You're going back to New York? He literally lives on this island.
Who could care? It's a vacation fuck. Or not even, it's a the idea is, I think Franny Potts is like, the most important thing to a little girl or a girl her age is
a vacation fuck.
Yeah, the first kiss. And that's what she's looking for. And like, it's going to be magical. And like, anything.
Romance.
Yeah, and he's and like,
you
I know, guess.
Do it when you get back to the city.
I guess the idea is like, Gerard Depardieu feels so bad for neglecting this girl for fucking 5 years. And also, there's a thing where like, she's like, you're going to go and have other kids, aren't you? You're not going to care. He's like, what? Probably, but not really. But most definitely, probably.
But this is a thing where it's like, you're supposed to give a shit that this character is like upset about, like, oh, my dad's going to have this new family and move. Like, I don't give a fuck about this girl. She's terrible.
She's awful.
As Gerard Depardieu screams out, they think I'm a child molester. That's all you needed. Like, lady, you set an entire resort against your father, making all of these strangers think that he's molesting you.
Yeah,
not cool.
The background of the family values bullshit.
Yes.
I don't need it.
Like, no
oh
fucking
oh, my God.
Way.
He's got trouble with his girlfriend. I don't care.
Also, though, Emma Thompson as your stepmom, pretty cool.
Not bad. Awesome.
Yeah, great.
Not bad.
A 1994 Emma Thompson, pretty cool.
So for dubious reasons, he's like, all right, I guess there has to be a movie. So he like goes along with it. And this is where like, I think Gerard Depardieu is a great actor. Really,
he
fun.
Is. He is an he's excellent
got,
actor.
He's got good comic timing. He just doesn't have the great command of the English language, which isn't his fault. He's French.
Nope.
It's like having Kevin James have to remake Paul Blart Mall Cop in France and have to speak French the whole time.
Well, I'd love to see that fucking fail.
Better movie, I would guarantee.
Yes, it would definitely be more
than
interesting.
This or the original Paul Blart.
Original Paul yeah. Blart. And probably this, too.
Yes. You get Romain Duris in there somehow.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, Paul Blart, oh my God, that's not his real name. What was it again?
Kevin James.
Yes.
He can play the American fat spy.
Yes.
The one from the CIA.
Oh, right. Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. Oh, do you know who his handler is? Joe Don Baker.
I was just going to say, totally.
Oh, yeah.
Get in there, fat spy. Kevin James.
I'm retired.
Get down on those ribs. We got to train you, boy.
Now you got to eat these hot dogs.
No, well, I've done my time.
You got 10 minutes to eat all the pickles and drink all the juice. You made me retire early because I contracted adult onset diabetes from all the eating.
You wouldn't believe what I ate in the 1970s. You kids got it a lot.
How much whipping you eat last night?
I mean, at least now you don't have to smoke cigarettes all the time. Indoors. That's what we did in the '70s, brother.
On top of the cream.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, you want a nice bowl of creamy cigarettes? That's disgusting. So he goes along with it, and it's like, you know, it's this weird balance of, well, because also, like, somewhere around here, because she keeps, like, making up all these ridiculous stories about this fake life that this guy's had. Like, he fucking, like, worked with the KGB, speaking of fat spies, and he did all this shit.
There's a fake stupid joke where she's like, oh, you contracted this war wound in the Hundred Years' War. And he's like, that wasn't the set, what, you know, whatever it was. But like, clearly everybody knows the Hundred Years' War. Like, even a 17-year-old kid knows that the Hundred Years' War was a very long time ago.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's pretty stupid.
It's a bad joke.
So like the guy, the teenage boy starts, what's his name, Russ?
Ben.
Ben, yeah. Ben starts. I don't know.
Russ.
You know, one of these days I will loosely guess a name.
It's one of these. It's one of those thin kid names. Was it Ben or Russ?
That's true.
Exactly.
So Ben,
not like Steve, Andrew, Chris,
Ted.
Wish I was born a Ben.
So, like, this guy, Ben, starts kind of, like, falling for Gerard Depardieu, like, thinking he's pretty cool, kind of a thing. And she's like...
Because she ramps down the creepiness factor. Well, she's just like, oh, he actually saved me from the streets. We don't actually fuck.
Right.
He's just, like, my friend.
They act like Ben can't get a boner anymore.
Yeah, right, because he's like, he feels threatened by Gerard Depardieu, which...
Okay. All the war stuff has made him limp.
Which, again, is really weird.
Boner like, broke.
Oh, that White Stripes song, Boner Broke? Great song. But why on earth, why, this is a very adult phenomenon. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm threatened by him. We're talking about kids who should be planning their first kiss. Yeah. It's not like, oh, this guy is sexually threatening me. A 17-year-old boy can't be emasculated.
I don't know about that. Well, also, like, that's
by
the
a
other
fat
thing,
spy?
Though.
Possibly.
This kid, this Ben character, this isn't his first rodeo, man.
Yeah.
He's grown up on this island. Oh, he's getting all sorts of vacation or tail.
He looks like fucking Greg Brady. He's doing just all right.
But that's what I'm saying, though. Yeah. That's why this dude is threatened, because he doesn't give a shit about his first kiss. His first kiss was years ago.
Years ago. Yeah, you're right. This guy has definitely been laying pipe all over this.
Totally,
I would
man.
Think so.
He's getting him right off the boat.
He's 17 years of age. Come on.
There's this weird scene between him and one of his friends that works in a boathouse or whatever. Is like, oh, he's like, oh man, you got it made. This girl is one of those stupid island girls on vacation, you know, that you'll date around here. She's like fucked up. She's got a pimp or whatever. He's like, you're definitely gonna go to fifth base, man.
You're hitting a home run here, brother.
Yeah, gross.
It's so stupid.
Also at this point, she like says, I don't know to what effect. Oh, because like he's like too masculine for Ben, and Ben is now emasculated. She's like, oh, but he's dying. And he's like, what? I'm dying now? Oh, great.
Yeah. Oh, man. So there's this like pathetic scene where he's like pretending to be sick in bed.
Yeah.
Because like he's like, fuck you, Katherine Heigl. You said that Andre was sick, but I saw him riding a jet ski one-legged, which is a hilarious. That should be a gif somewhere. And she's like, one day he'll be fine, and the next day he's sick. So then they have to do this whole thing where he comes over, and she's like, see, he's in bed or whatever. And there's also some line like, oh, like, how sick, you know, you're saying he's sick, whatever. And she's like, you know what? Last night he fell asleep in the bathtub and almost drowned.
You ain't fooling anyone, fat spy. He's sitting in the room, and he's like,
that's my three room service.
Oh, man, that's a sequel you want.
The weird thing is, if you were this kid, Ben, or whatever his name is, you'd be like, are you guys like weird island grifters? Because you seem as if you're trying to do weird island grifting, which must happen all the time.
I would think so.
Yeah.
What do you mean by island grifting?
You know, you go to a resort, you talk yourself up, you pretend you're something, and then all of a sudden you're in like a baccarat game, and then, you know, whatever else happens. You know?
Yeah, you are. So, but that's really dangerous, though, man, being an island grifter, like an inexperienced one, like you get in too deep.
Yeah, of course.
I feel like anytime you find yourself in a baccarat game, it's like, I'm in too deep. If I'm sitting next to fucking James Bond, and I'm just, I've been like pathetically trying to lay a game or something, I'm in too
deep.
But
in this situation, it's just Tobo.
Yeah.
Well, that's
Tobo's got a stack of square chips.
There needs to be more interaction with Tobo and these characters.
No, because that wouldn't be creepy and like unsettling.
Yeah,
because
he's like totally like he's good in this movie, and like that's a fun little dynamic they have. You know what I mean? Like, that's what the quote unquote jokes are in this movie. Is
right.
Like, hey, are you a child molester? Nope. All right.
Are you French?
Yeah. Like that's the gag sort of.
There's like one part where they walk by and like Tobo's like French guys.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's their movie like? What are they doing?
I think he might have done an episode about this. I think this is like just a free vacation or something. Because why would? Yeah. Oh, it's you want me to shoot a movie in the Bahamas?
Yeah, a lot like Strange Brew.
What
with the McKenzie Brothers movie?
That's what their movie.
Their
movie would be. I think
just drinking Canadian beer and thwarting Max von Sydow.
Yes,
never saw that movie.
It's fun.
It's okay.
It's fine. So at this point, because they have to have, like, because there is no, I mean, there really should be some kind of a boating competition or.
Right.
Like,
well, that's, we have to scale that back because this dude's getting too sexually threatened. So she's like, all right, Dad, now you got to act like a fucking moron for the rest of this movie. Mm-hmm. So, like, they go play tennis and he's got to just, like, hit the ball like a moron. Sure. And they're trying to, like, windsurf and he keeps falling in the water doing belly flops.
Is this where it's. At what point? Oh no! Then at some point she goes windsurfing by herself. Is what I was talking about.
This is so we can get to this. Sure,
because this is like the sort of inciting incident or the climax of the movie.
This is the climax.
Inciting incident happens at the start. Right?
Oh yeah, I haven't read that Robert McKee book in a long time.
Man, Brian Cox could be another fat spy.
The Irish fat spy,
and he turns on Ray Winstone.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great. They're all there. They're in the middle. They're all in boats, just picking fish out of the river.
I love this tuna.
I think we should order octopus. A whole octopus.
So yeah, she goes out. She goes windsurfing.
And she like gets tragically like caught on the rocks there, and like for some reason the boat won't start, so the kid can't get out there. And like Gerard was like, "I will save my own daughter."
I love how this is the only boat in all of the Bahamas not working.
Well, I think what's going on here, and it's not really addressed, is like this woman is baby cakes level crazy.
Yes,
I think she cut the brakes on the boat there.
Oh, wow, yeah, scene.
Mm-hmm, like, and she's like, I'm gonna get myself in peril, and someone then has to save me, and then of course because of all of this like sexual tension, I'll get my first kiss.
Baby cakes. So she falls off into the water. The boat's not working. So Gerard Depardieu. Once again, man, he doesn't blink. He takes this shirt right off. He jumps in the water.
Doesn't even look around.
No, fuck it. Rips this thing off.
Cue Baywatch theme and let's go.
Thank God there's no slow motion in this movie. And so he starts swimming out there. He gets this hilarious leg cramp and starts drowning.
Again, I think that was Katherine Heigl. She gave him like a Zeppeli before. She's like, oh, hey, eat this before I go out. He's like, oh, of course.
I planted that Zeppeli.
Love a good Narlins dessert.
He eats it
all right. He starts fucking drowning.
And then the boat works. Ben picks up Katherine Heigl and she's like, oh my God, my daddy is drowning. My daddy is drowning.
She's like, daddy, hang on.
And like, even in this like high tense situation, Ben has to be like, daddy.
Did she just, we'll figure this
that's
out.
That's really, that's unsettling.
And then they get the whale nets there and they pick them up.
No, they don't. They bring him around the sun and travel back into the future.
No, but like on the beach, like it's the she's all that moment, sort of.
Yeah.
But instead of like, instead of I'm bad, it's like, oh, you weren't fucking your dad. And I guess that makes me more angry at you. I mean, it's lying, really, but I'd be a bit relieved, to be quite honest.
Yeah, but can you imagine you just spent days listening to all this shit? Oh, he rescued me from the streets. Yeah. Oh, he was working with the KGB. Like, he's just upset about the time that's wasted.
They should never speak again. Like, that's kind of what it is. It's like, okay, cool. You don't live here. I never have to interact with you ever again. You're that creepy girl that lied to me. Bye-bye.
Instead, we have Gerard Depardieu, Cyrano de Bergeracking with her so she can, like, win him back.
Well, the weird thing is, like, isn't the lesson to teach your daughter here, like, it's not okay to lie, and that now you know, it's because it's not even, like, high stakes. It's not like they were engaged or anything.
No.
Like,
no.
Again, they'll never see each other again. It's like, well, you lose some. That's what lying does. It
that's
kind
why
of
you don't lie.
Mm-hmm, it's just, and then you leave it alone, and then she like grows. But he's like, no.
You lie better.
Exactly. Again, they're a father daughter con artist team because they are. They go outside of his bungalow, and like Gerard Depardieu's hiding, and he's just telling her what to say.
It's also stupid, like, because he played de Bergerac in 1990, so he's just referencing that whole and like that just happened, man.
it was seriously not even half a decade.
It came out on VHS like late 91 in the US. Okay, like we're just getting over that.
And to
getting as a nation, we were getting over that in the Gulf War.
to prove how fucking twisted this character is that Katherine Heigl's playing in this movie. So like we the prior scene is like Gerard Depardieu's trying to help her write this letter, apologizing this, that, and the other thing. We go to the house. You know, it's the old worn gag of they're trying to like get his attention. They throw a rock through his window. It breaks. This whole thing, right? So then like he's doing the Cyrano de Bergeracking with her. And he's like, you know, so Ben is kind of warming up or whatever. And this is supposed to be like she's trying to redeem herself, this, that, and the other thing. There's a quick moment where she turns to Gerard Depardieu, who's like hiding and doing this whole thing. And she just goes, he's falling for it. Or like he's buying it or whatever it is. And I'm like, no, this is supposed to be the legitimate redemption, but you're a sociopath.
There might be a suitcase full of French francs we're unaware of. I mean, like maybe that's a deleted scene. Maybe that's what this is all about.
Oh, that could be. Or maybe that's something Fat Spy's trying to get.
Or no, that'd be Frank Footer's, actually. A suitcase full of hot dogs.
Man, suitcase full of hot dogs. That's the name of my blues album.
I was going to say, that's like a John Popper solo album.
oh, gross. I'm getting hungry.
Mm-hmm, yeah, lunch is next. Whatever. I mean, then there's another dance.
This is, you know, will I see you at the dance? He's like, I don't know if I'm going to go to the dance. Oh, you Cyrano de Bergerac me? Okay, I'll go to the dance.
Mm-hmm.
And, so then just like this dance. The dance, by the way. Like, we're in high school.
She's with Hunky Ben and Franny Potts found, like, a real estate mogul or something.
Oh, no, the guy that revives Gerard Depardieu is a sexy Italian doctor,
that's
I guess.
Right, and yeah. He's recently divorced, so desperate Annie Potts is all over that shit. So sad.
Doesn't he just go back and finally see Emma Thompson?
They get together and he calls Emma Thompson. He's like, because he's been leaving these voicemails and you keep looking lovingly at her feet.
This fucking phone bill, man, I can't get over it.
And he's just like, oh, would you please talk to me, please, please, oh, please. And like the final one is like, you know, I've learned a lot on this vacation from my daughter of all people, Nicole. Like, what did you learn from her? Like, he says that. Like, I learned from Nicole. She taught me better than anyone else.
It's creepy to be thought of as a child molester.
I now know that horseshit is the most important. The most important.
I think what he learned from her is that I have an incredibly shitty child, and I need to have another child with you to perhaps balance it out.
Yes. I mean, she'll be in jail in less than 10 years. I need to have at least another kid to get over that eventual shock.
Exactly. So Emma Thompson, you know, she puts some socks on and she picks up the phone.
Oh, man, boner kills socks.
Complete.
And she's like, oh, you know, oh, you want to get married? That's great. And he's like, I have something else to tell you, too. I would like to have a child with you. And she's like, oh, that's cool. And then the last line of the movie, he just goes, make sure it's a girl.
Yes, no, thank you.
He's making this phone call, by the way, while he's spying on his daughter making out on the beach with this dude.
I'm sorry, there is one thing we have to talk about, the makeout scene. And it's fine. Like, you know, it's just a kiss scene. It's two kids, whatever. That's fine.
I'm not seeing any tongue.
But what you do see, and I notice this.
Oh, sure.
Whoa,
yep.
Whoa.
There happens to be an updraft. Like, we're watching the fucking 7-year itch, and her skirt goes up, and you see her underwear, and I'm like, are you effing kidding me? Because that's a wind machine, my friend. Oh. That is no happy accident. That is a wind machine strategically placed to do that.
Oh, listen, it was a wind machine in the 7-year itch, and it's a fucking wind machine now, baby.
There were grates right there, Steve. Okay?
Oh yeah, the Bahamas subway system.
It's a beach breeze, and it just so happens to do this while she's. It's like it's
multiple times, by the way.
Perfect beach breeze
from Steve Miner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ew, Steve Miner.
Oh, too bad that wind couldn't blow off her shoes. I don't know that Steve Miner has a foot fetish.
He's got something. All I'm going to say is he's got something. I don't know. Unless that's kind of the end of the movie. But like, yeah, is he like...
There's no... This what the movie doesn't have, and it needs it because this poor bastard, this whole time, I feel terrible for Gerard Depardieu in this movie.
Sure, yeah.
And there's no rectification of, like, this whole resort thought I was a child molester.
Yes.
Like, the revenge that he gets is he goes up to, like, there's this old couple played by Steve Miner's parents, by the way.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, he goes up and he like, talks shit to the dude in French, and then he goes up to Tobo's table, and he, in French, he's like, if I, you know, if I ever go to Scranton, I'll let you know so I can avoid you. Yeah. And I'm like, you're not even getting revenge because they don't speak French and they don't understand what's happening right now. Like, Tobo's like, oh, you know, sexy, cool French language.
Again, there's a stage right there. You have to bring your daughter on stage and be like, we have something to tell you. Okay, everyone settle down.
Exactly. Before the next fucking talent show or Bahaman set starts up.
Yeah.
Just quickly just clear the air. Look,
exactly.
I'm not molesting this girl. She's my daughter. She's sick. She's been lying this whole time. It's disgusting. I'll get her help when we get back to New York.
It's just a prank.
it was just a prank, everyone.
Yeah,
it was
a mildly
sexy prank.
So he leaves this resort, and like dozens of people will go home and be like, can you listen? We were on vacation last week in the Bahamas. This guy there was a pedophile. Could you believe that pedophile? And the Bahamian police weren't doing anything about it. This pedophile's just running around.
This just makes French stereotypes harden.
Yeah, oh,
yeah.
And I think those two obese men were spies.
How much ground chuck you got in your suitcase? Is it more than the pickles I have in my pocket? There's a pickle in my pocket.
No, literally an actual pickle.
Oh, here it is. It's a spicy deal.
I'll fill a whole Gatorade bottle with Russian dressing.
Oh, Jesus.
I got to keep hydrated.
I like my food a bit wet.
Good God.
That's a fat spy.
It is a fat spy. But, like, it sucks that there's no revenge for this. This poor guy, he just gets dumped on. He's got a fucking terrible haircut. None of his clothes fit. He's just a clown.
To be fair, he's going to go home and marry a 1994 Emma Thompson. So
he's doing pretty okay.
Yeah, I mean, he wins in the long run. Yeah, but this reputation that he's going to have around Scranton.
He knows now to, I mean, when it comes to his first marriage and his first daughter, abandon ship.
Yep.
Go on another ship, and hopefully that ship won't yield this.
No, oh, man. Oh, but yeah, that
No water. I'll drink soup.
Broth. Broth as far as you I can see.
Only beef broth.
Actually, and now I'm thinking about it, I think Emma Thompson's only with Gerard Depardieu as a long con to get revenge on Helena Bonham Carter by having her sleep with Gerard Depardieu. It's like, oh, you want to break up my marriage? All right, I'm going to marry Gerard Depardieu. Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness.
Have at it.
Make sure it's a girl. And they're just having a big laugh. Uh-huh. And this little baby's getting tongue-kissed on the beach.
With her ass hanging out.
Yeah.
Yet again.
And that's just the end of it.
That's great.
There's no... If you can't have a cartoon intro, how about a cartoon outro?
Sure.
Do me the fucking kindness of a cartoon outro, will you please? Cartoon outro the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? They're all in attendance. You got there's fat spies like lurking in the corner of the cartoon frame. Like, come on, anything. Just giggling about you better make it a girl.
But a twist is it's Ben and the little girl's wedding.
Oh.
She becomes a child bride.
She becomes Mrs. Ben. God. This movie's disgusting.
Yeah.
Would anybody recommend it?
No. I think on a scale of 1...
To Vile?
To Vile. 1 to Blame It on Rio is what I was going to blame it.
Oh, sure.
Because this is kind of a cousin of Blame It on Rio. We're having weird, gross, sexy stuff. It's like a 5. It's very tame once you've seen Blame It on Rio when you think about it.
That's the thing. Like, if you see this first and you're like, oh my goodness, and your bow tie's spinning, then you watch Blame It on Rio where, like, children are getting fucked.
That's like the nuclear bomb of child fucking movies. This is still very bad.
Yes.
But this movie, it is just like a... there's air quotes here, listeners. Cute misunderstanding.
Sure.
blame it on Rio.
He's
like,
going,
you fuck my daughter, I'll fuck your daughter. And you're just like, shut up, Michael Caine, you sex pervert.
Mm-hmm.
No one's, here's the thing. Nobody in My Father the Hero is on their knees in front of a man and you see the moonlight glisten off their braces.
Yeah.
Thanks anyway, blame it on Rio, you fucking perverts.
That's a no for me.
A hard no.
Hard no. Hard?
It's a hard no.
Oh, boy.
Erect no.
All right. Mine's a soft no.
Soft but getting there no?
No. Soft because I want nothing to do with this.
Sure,
movie.
Sure.
This is I hate this. I saw this in the 90s.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I feel like this was big on HBO back in the day.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I saw this with my mother. And
in theaters?
No. On TV.
Yeah,
your eventual memoir should be called "I Saw This with My Mother."
Yeah, I want to read that book.
I'll get to work on it. But yeah, I never wanted to watch this again before this show.
Yeah,
and I never want to watch it again after this show.
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah. I'm done. The redeeming part of this movie, man, Tobo and Ann. I want that movie. Mm-hmm. The Scranton Vacationers.
I think Depardieu quits himself well enough. I think that he holds the screen.
He is. I mean, he does have good comedic timing.
Sure.
He's a great actor.
Yeah.
There's just way better movies that you can watch him in.
Quite a lot of them, actually. Yeah.
That's actually an impressive thing that I was doing because I'm, you know, how can you possibly hold attention to this movie the entire time? You look through his filmography, man. In like 2016 alone, I think we're talking like 10 projects.
Oh, really?
He's busy as a bee.
Are they like a bunch of like zombie Netflix projects? Or
no,
what are
I mean, there's some like
a lot
actually
of French
he's
comedies.
Wait, fat spy movies?
Oh my god! There
why
is.
Why isn't that happening?
He's. I gotta check this out. I meant to look at it after the movie was over. There's some sort of like French like cop show that's on Netflix that he's a part of.
Isn't he he's House of Cards? He's the Underwood.
No,
French House of Cards is Marseille, and that's on Netflix.
Oh, that it's that, but
he's Frank Underwood on that show.
Oh, interesting.
It's not bad.
But yeah, I mean, he works all the time. But it's like it's anything from like that to like garbage cartoon movies where he's just doing voices. And then I think there's a law somewhere in movie world that like every like 6 or 7 years he's got to play a musketeer.
I'm like, he's in Life of Pi for like what, a minute?
I never saw that movie.
No, I never.
You couldn't fucking pay me to see it. I couldn't care less. Really?
Yeah.
The tiger jumping over a rainbow or some shit.
It's about a raft, right? A little raft that could.
It's a boat. A little boat.
Oh, it's a
boat?
It's
the boat story,
it's a
boat, really.
Are you sure it's a boat?
I guess
it is.
Okay.
All right. I thought it was a raft.
It's not. It's not a raft.
Twist.
That's My Father the Hero, directed by Steve Miner. If you want more We Hate Movies, check out whmpodcast.com or find us over on the HeadGum Network. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We are at WHM Podcast, and right into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Write and review the program wherever you get it. We would greatly appreciate it. Do not miss us March the 4th at the Bell House or April the 13th down at the Punchline in Atlanta, Georgia. Coming up next week on the program, Eric.
A little movie called Retroactive.
Now, Retroactive, nobody will know what this is because who could possibly care, but who is returning to the show after a long absence?
Jim Belushi.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Jim Belushi time travel movie. So if you can find
this
movie.
He's kind of like the Terminator in this movie. So I recommend watching it if you can find it.
Yeah, find it in advance.
It's from 97.
Yeah, it's
It won't cost you more than $2. with shipping, maybe, but yeah.
So until next week, where Jim Belushi travels through time like the Terminator, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadek.
Chris Gavin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.